Erev Shabbos, Parshas Baalayscha, Tavshin Samach Tes. We'll say over a short idea, which is a very beautiful and powerful insight on a short Parsha within our Parsha, which talks about the travels of Bnei Yisrael, the Jews, throughout the desert. If you have a Parshas Maaseh at the end of the Sefer Bamidbar, tells us all about the 42 encampments that they had. But in our Parsha, we're told how they knew when to travel and when to camp. When to break camp and then when to settle down again. But there's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis the following. There is two of the 39 Malachas on Shabbos that one may not do, is building, for example, to build a house. You can't build a house on Shabbos by Torah law, and you also cannot demolish it. However, the Gemara says that the act of demolition would only be prohibited by the Torah if it is done for the purpose of rebuilding that building in the same place. In other words, something went wrong with the foundation. Something went wrong with one of the walls of the house that you just built. And therefore it comes along, you're looking on Shabbos, and you say, you know, this whole wall really seems problematic. So you take your sledgehammer and start banging away, demolish that wall, and then you're going to rebuild that same wall in that same place. That's what the Gemara here says. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is, it has to be Seisar Amanas Livnes B'mekaymai. You have to demolish it in order to then, with the intent to rebuild it in its same place. Asks the Gemara a question. Omalei Rabba. Rabba says, 1 second. How could that be? How could that be that you're only transgressing a Torah law of demolishing if you demolish in order to rebuild in the exact same place? In the Mishkan it was not like that. In the Mishkan, every time they dismantled the Mishkan, the tabernacle, it was then to travel on and rebuild it in a different place. So if all of the laws of Shabbos are learned out, indeed, from the Mishkan was quite the opposite. The Mishkan was to be demolished from where it was and rebuilt in a different location.
It wasn't being demolished. I wouldn't call that disassembly.
That dismantling of the Mishkan is exactly where we learned that from. That's where we learned the Isser of Seisa, the prohibition of dismantling, of demolishing, yeah.
But are they one and the same? To demolish something means it's never going to be used again in its original form.
To the demolishing, we have Seisar. Always every act on Shabbos, in order to be prohibited by the Torah, has to be a constructive act. So if I just take a sledgehammer just and break down a building for no good purpose, just for the kicks, that's destroying. That you're not, there's no Torah prohibition on that. That's rabbinically forbidden. But there has to be, I mean, even when I destroy something, yeah, in our terms, destroying means you're destroying just to be rid of it. So it really has to be an act of dismantling or of demolishing in order to then build. We have many halachas like that, many of the malachas, right? Erasing. You have to erase in order to then to write. So there's something constructive in the erasing. You untie, you're only untying the knot in order to be able to retie the knot. Okay? So here also, the dismantling of the Mishkan was to dismantle it from the place they were in, move to another location, and rebuild it. So why would it only be prohibited to dismantle in order to rebuild them with the intent to rebuild in the same exact place that it was? And the Gemara answers, no, the Mishkan was different. Why? The Mishkan, since it says, as it does in our parsha, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Val Pi Hashem Yisov. It was only based on the direction from Hashem that they got to travel, or that they got to set up camp. Therefore, Kisei Sharmanas Livnais Bimakai Meidami. So there, we view all of the travels in the Mishkan, and all of the building of the Mishkan, and this dismantling of the Mishkan, as if it was in the same place. What does that mean? Because God said, okay, now travel. So what do they have to do? All right, let's dismantle, move on. Where should we go? Okay, stop over here. We stop over here. Set up camp, build the Mishkan, building. Now God says again, okay, we're traveling further now. So what do they do? Dismantle the Mishkan, start traveling, So, was the Mishkan to be demolished, to be rebuilt in the same location or not?
No.
No. So what's the Gemara answering? Since this was done based on the direction of Hashem, He told them when to go, He told them when to stop, and how long to be in each location, therefore it's like as if they were demolishing to rebuild in the same place. That's right. So how could they, what is the Gemara telling us? What does that mean? Because since it was based on what Hashem told them, His direction, therefore it's as if they were in the same place. What does that mean? So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Lebrach, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz the following. This is what the Gemara means. A beautiful, profound pshat in the Gemara. This is the way he explains the Gemara. Let's say you have a child. A child goes to the mall with its mother. And you have this 2-year-old baby in the mall with his mother, shopping for 4 hours in the mall, and the mother is wheeling him around in the carriage. And you go to this store, and you go to that store, and the other store. At the end of the day, they interview the child. And let's say, for instance, that the child is able to recount and recall all his experiences of that day and is able to articulate it. And we interview the child and say, sir, where were you today? The child will say, me? I was in one place the whole day. One place the whole day? What do you mean you went to, you were in Bed Bath & Beyond and you were in CVS and you were in, help me out. Macy's and Caesar. What do you mean? You were all over the place. You were here, you were there, right? He says, me? I was in one place the whole day. I was being wheeled around by my mother a whole day. That's what the Gemara means. If you ask B'nai Yisrael, you say, where were you? How long were you? Us? We were in one place. We were in Hashem's hands. We were being carried by Hashem. Of course, He told us, now move, now. But every time we set up shop, we're going to be in this place, because we're only in one place. We're in one place the whole time. Of course, we had to move along. But that's the idea, and that's what the Gemara is telling us. Since it was Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, based on the word of Hashem they can't, and based on the word of Hashem they traveled, it's as if they were only in one place. You really see this, many of the Rishonim here in this parsha here, it starts at Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav, and it goes through Tes Vav through Chav Gimel. And in those psukim, that's what the Torah tells us. How did they know when to travel? How did they know when to stop? So it was very simple, the Torah says. That when the cloud hovered over and covered the camp and covered the Mishkan, they knew, okay, we're supposed to settle here. And how long are we going to be here? Says the Torah, it could be they were there a day. It could be they were there, or would only be there overnight. It could be they will be there for a month or a year in one location. And this is, as the Rishonim point out, this is a great praise of Klal Yisrael. But Yisrael didn't complain. And they said, you know what? We're here. We're ready to unload everything. They were there with their families. They're talking about 2 million people. And they're unloading everything. And all of a sudden they see the cloud starts to ascend. And they say, oh, we just started opening the suitcases and preparing to set up shop, set up our tents over here. The cloud is ascending. That means we're going on. We thought we would be, you know, this was a very nice place. This was a comfortable spot here in the desert. And God says, no, we're moving along now. Oh, you know what? We have to move along. And then there were places, well, you know, this is not such a great situation to be in. You know, the sun is a little hot in this area of the desert. And Hashem said, we're going to stay here for a month or 2 months or a year. And they didn't complain. We'll be here? Okay. And finally, the cloud ascended and it was time to move on. And it was only with the attitude that they are in one place all 40 years in the desert. Where are they? They are in God's hands. And this is, if we take it to a very practical level, it's like a person who's, he enjoys his house, he enjoys his surroundings, and all of a sudden the cloud lifts up and he gets a sign, somehow, usually his wife tells him, but he gets a sign, it's time to move on. It's time to change locations. You know, I like it here, but But he sees, he gets Hashem's message. It's time to move on. And sometimes, you know, I don't like this, the job that I'm in. I don't really like this. You know, maybe I can move on. Hashem says it's not time to move on. Finally, now he can move on. The cloud ascends. He gets the sign from Hashem. He has it's time to break camp. It's time to move on. If a person has the attitude like Bnei Yisrael had in the Midbar, like the baby has in the stroller, I'm very comfortable. I am in my mother's arms. I can trust my mother entirely to take me where I'm supposed to be. You think I wanted to be in the women's dress shop for an hour and a half? No, I would have liked to be in Toys R Us. But I'm in my mother's arms. Wherever she takes me, you can trust her. That's the way they were in the desert. It was Api Hashem Yachnu, based on the word of Hashem, they camped. Based on the word of Hashem, they traveled. Person goes through life like that, he goes with a tremendous amount of faith and trust in Hashem. I'm confident that when Hashem tells me to move on, I'll move on. And that must be the right move for me. When he tells me to stay put, then I'll stay put. Okay, nervous Shabbos.